Amen. Okay, let's read. Yeah, on 1, 2, 3, I just want you all to just say Jesus. Can you do that with me? Yeah, okay. 1, 2, 3.
Jesus.
Amen. Father, we bless you and we worship you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. Take the preeminence, wonderful and glorious Holy Spirit. Lead us into your word. Open our eyes to see. Open our hearts to receive. Let those words not just be things we hear, but let us be doers of your word. We thank you for your mercy. They are new every morning. We thank you for your grace. They are abundant. And thank you for the ability to speak grace into things in life. And they are leveled and they become planes. So, Father, as we journey in your word, help us, teach us, guide us, lead us, inspire us, enlighten us. Let everything that you have prepared and planned for your children, let them receive it today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You know, it's always a beautiful and glorious time when I come to fellowship with you, especially on Christmas Day. In the past, I always took it as, Lord, how am I going to combine a Christmas message and a message for June? You know, but this time I am so excited because the message actually combines together by the ability and the person of the Holy Spirit, who is our helper. So journey with me. Let's start with that scripture that my lovely, wonderful, beautiful girl read from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Let's read 6 and 7 together. Let's read 6 and 7. Any version is nice. Any version is good. Let's read it together. So NKJV is good. It says, for unto us. Let's do it together. Again. 1, 2, 3. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. Verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 29. Psalm 29. Let's do Psalm 29 together. Psalm 29. It's 9 verses, so we'll do it together. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says what? Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go with me to Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. Just the first 7 verses. Revelations chapter 1. Let's read together. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and is sent and signified by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was from, and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Amen. A few more. Go to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. Exodus 17 from about verse 13 or 14. So Exodus 17 from about verse 13 or 14. Exodus 17. Or from 8. Let's read from 8. Let's read from 8. So Exodus 17 from verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. I'll read this one into your hearing. Now Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and all went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. In fact, let's read this one together. So Joshua defeated, go on, verse 13 again. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Continue with me, 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I would utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. 15. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi. That's enough for you. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Amen? Amen. Last scripture reading, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Verse 14. Matthew 24, 14. Or verse 13 and 14. Matthew 24, verse 13 and 14. But he who endures, come on, let's read this together with me. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Holy Spirit, help us, guide us, lead us, be with us, open our eyes to see, and open our ears to hear, and help our heart to receive and to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. The word I have, by the grace of God, for you for the month of June, you would find it in Psalm 29. So you go there, Psalm 29, verse 3. But I just want to point one or two things to you. So take it from verse 1. I'm sure you saw it yourself when you read it. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. I will show you that that is referring to you and I now. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Verse 3, the voice. How many times did you hear that? The voice, you know, the voice of the Lord. So let's pick that. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. Next verse, we'll come back to 3. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, he splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them skip like calf. Next one. Verse 7. The voice of the Lord divides the flame of fire. Next verse. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. Next verse. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says what?
Glory.
Glory. Amen. Back to verse 3. Back to verse 3. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the month of June 2019 should be a voice for you where you'll hear the God of glory thundering. So the month of June will be the month of the God of glory. Amen. The God of glory. The God of glory. Let's by the help and ability of the Holy Spirit, let's tie it together. Let's tie it together. I was born again on the 1st of May, 1999. This was when I answered the call. Like most of you, by the grace of God, you've answered the call. But you know, God has been chasing us from a long time, even before we answered the call. What God does to help us is that he arranges situations and circumstances in life to help us to hear him clearer. He removes all forms of distractions. And God is so particular and so clear that he wants you to answer the call. So God will go to great lengths on your behalf, like he did for Abraham. He took him out of Mesopotamia. When Abraham was still dilly-dallying, he took his father from him. He was still dilly-dallying, he took the brother. Yeah, he was still dilly-dallying, he moved him on. God will remove or he will rearrange things on your behalf for you to hear his voice. For you to hear his voice. Now, when you hear the voice of God, it is because of Christmas that we remember. It is because he sent his son to die. His son to be the propitiation for our sins. Amen? To cleanse us, to wash us, to make it possible for us to be reinstalled and reacquainted back to him. There's a scripture that I looked at in church yesterday where the Bible says that Jesus is the stairway. This is the Gospel of John. Between heaven and earth, he reconnects us back to the Father so that we can have the ability to receive the person of the Holy Spirit in our heart so that a work, a journey can start. So the moment he gives you the Holy Spirit, Romans says that the Holy Spirit is the seed, is the seal of the Godhead in our lives. It says, from our heart is shed abroad the love of God, isn't it? Because the Holy Spirit is in our spirit. Then we start a journey where he wants to take us through, he wants to mature us, he wants to grow us, to get us to where we will look and see in the book of Revelations, where the Bible says he makes us kings and priests unto his God and Father. Kings and what?
Priests.
Unto his God and Father. I have a new Bible. It's called the Infographic Bible. Yeah, it's in pictures and lots of information, but it's in pictures, Infographic Bible. In that Bible, there's a particular page, page 148, where you would see that the Bible says everything that Jesus taught us, they put it, they collated it together in sort of frequency. And the top theme is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the top theme. The second theme is Father God. The third theme eludes me to come to me. The fourth is faith. In fact, I think it's the other way. The fourth is money. Then the fifth is faith. I was a bit surprised. But the top theme is the kingdom of God. It's about God's kingdom. It's about God's kingdom. Stay with me. I'm taking you on a journey. So Matthew 24, verse 14, the Bible says that. It says, this gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom, it shall be preached. It says, and then the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of grace that we are very familiar with, that God saved us by grace, is part of the gospel of the kingdom. It is not the entire gospel of the kingdom. You know, the same way I'm sure you've heard me say it like this before. Liverpool is in England, but Liverpool is not England. So Liverpool is where? It's in England. The gospel of grace is in the gospel of the kingdom. So one of the things that you and I must grow in more and more is, what is the gospel of the... It's a very deep one. What is the gospel of the kingdom? It is more than God came to save you or God came to save me. That's just the beginning of the journey. So as I said to you, I was born again 1st of May 1999. I started on a journey in God, with God. In that journey, God has proposed that I must grow in him. I must grow into the fullness and the stature of the person of Jesus Christ. You know the scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. So we are all on a journey. I don't know where you are. I don't know where the rest of us may be. But we are all on that journey together. I pray today I will move you along more. Amen. And move you along greater. And as you step into 2019, you'll have a zeal and a zest to accomplish it. And the Bible says, we didn't get to it in 9:7 of Isaiah. It says, it is the zeal of the Lord of hosts that will accomplish it. So it is not even by your power or by your might, but by the Spirit of God. But you must be a willing participant. Amen? So go back with me. Let's look at a few things that you read. So let me just show you one or two things that I want you to pay particular attention to. The voice in Proverbs, in Psalm 29, the voice there, whose voice is it? So let's look at it together. Whose voice is it? The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. Okay. Again, as you read this psalm, you get the impression that the voice is the voice of who? God, isn't it? Wonderful. Excellent. But now the Bible says that you and I, we are the body of who? Christ. Jesus is the head of Christ. Yeah. Christ is an organism. Christ is alive. Yeah. Christ is an entity that is growing and evolving. You and I are in Christ. Yeah. Now, Jesus is the head, but by essence, you and I are his body. Stay with me. You will see this. When you read the Gospel of Matthew, in particular, because the Gospel of Matthew is the gospel of the kingdom, you will see most of the Bible references details where it says the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. When you read the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke, because these three make up the synoptic gospels, yeah, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John came afterwards, yeah, to put a lot of light where there was supposedly lack of clarity in the other three. But also, John comes to give you the divinity of God. But go back to Matthew. Matthew is the gospel of the kingdom. And that's why in the genealogy of Matthew, he takes it to Abraham and to David. Because Matthew wants to show you that Jesus is a king. So he gives you the genealogy. If you look at the converse in Luke, Luke wants to show you that Jesus is a man. So he takes it back to Adam. But stay with Matthew. So in Matthew, very specific things I want you to understand and to see. The kingdom of heaven is inside the kingdom of God. Stay with me, you'll get this. The kingdom of God is headed by God the Father. The head of the kingdom of God is God the Father. The head of the kingdom of heaven is Jesus Christ, the Son. The kingdom of God is unseen. It's spiritual. You can't see it. And that's why when they ask Jesus in the Gospels, where is the kingdom? What did he say? He says it's in your heart. It's within you. However, the Gospel of Matthew wants you to understand that the kingdom of heaven is seen. It's a visible kingdom. Because the purpose of the kingdom of heaven is to bring the kingdom of God into bear. So, for example, you will understand this even clearer because we live in the United Kingdom. Who is the head of state? It's the Queen. It's the Queen. But who is a visible ruling arm? The Prime Minister. So you know, you don't really see the Queen in operation, but you know everything in United Kingdom is named and termed after the Queen. It's Her Majesty's Royal Post, Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, Her Majesty's United UK Borders. It's all Her Majesty or His Majesty, depending on who is ruling. But the Queen is the head of state. The same way God the Father, He is the head. But Jesus came to deliver a kingdom to him. And that's when Jesus came, he says, the kingdom of heaven is where? Is here. It's here. So which is the visible part of the kingdom of heaven? You see the church. The church. You can see the church because the church is not a building. The church is who? You and I. The church is you and I. So with that in mind, I go back in your mind. I could tie many more things for you, but I want to move quickly. Time is of essence. We must eat later and celebrate, isn't it? It's Christmas. Eh? Merry. I was saying to somebody, many occasions are happy. Are you noticing they're trying to get rid of the Merry Christmas? No, but Christmas is always merry. You know, things don't, you know, you don't have to be happy to be merry. So this, they're all trying to say happy Christmas. No, it's not happy Christmas. It's merry Christmas, because it's a celebration of Christ's birth. Yeah, we are to eat and enjoy and have a good time. You know, so because many things in life may not always make you happy, but Christmas is a merry period. Yeah, so please don't get caught up with the happy, happy. No, you can say happy, but don't forget it's a merry. It's Merry Christmas and Happy New. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. So stay with me. Again, I could tie many things together, but I'm taking you somewhere. So if we go back now to Psalm 29, where it says the voice, it means by implication, it is now also your voice. So let's go back. Psalm 29. The voice of the Lord is over the water. Start from verse 1. So you see, tie verse 1. Prophetic David. Very, very prophetic. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. You are the mighty ones now. By implication, you are children of God. Yeah, you are children of the Most High. So by implication, you are now oaks of righteousness, isn't it? Yeah. So where it says the voice, there, back to verse 2 and 3, verse 2 and 3, give unto the Lord the glory due his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Verse 3. So the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. You know that scripture? Let God arise and his enemies be. Where is God? He is in you. By implication now, by the person of his spirit, he is now inside you. He now lives in you. And the journey we are on, the journey I have been on for the last 19 years, is to keep growing in God. Because when I got saved, when you got saved, it was your spirit that was saved. Your soul is on a journey. Yeah, Peter chapter 1 verse 7 says, and to receive the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. Romans teaches us, says, now be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, because your mind is part of your soul. So your soul is on a journey of being saved. It wasn't saved when you became born again. That's why when the unbeliever or the old world looks at the Christian, you look the same. That's where the scripture in 1 John says, now it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know we are like him, because when he comes, we shall be, yeah, in the twinkling of an eye. So this is the journey you and I are. We're on a journey of sonship, a journey of growth, a journey of manifesting, so that it is God's voice in me. So because if you see this scripture, look at it together. Let's just take a few verses. It says, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. Next verse. It says, the voice of the Lord is what? Powerful. Is your voice powerful? Don't answer. The voice of the Lord is full of, is your voice full of what? Keep going. Next verse. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Can your voice break cedars? This is the journey you are on. The Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. Keep going. He makes them also skip like a calf. Next verse. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. So now let me add to this journey. I want you to see yourself clearer. Clearer. The kingdom, by implication, is spiritual. But there is a physical manifestation of it in you and me. Your body will not be saved. Our command is to daily do what? Crucify it. So I'm going to show you why it is important for you to understand that. Because when you study Exodus, and I won't take you through that, but when you study Exodus, Exodus is a picture of your journey and my journey. Yeah? Because if you study Exodus, let's go back. Just a few Bible lessons now. I'm sure you know this story very well. So who was in Egypt? Okay. So what does Egypt represent? The world. So who was in Egypt? Me. I was in Egypt. Exodus is a great book. Wonderful book. You see your whole life in it if you start to understand it. So the first thing God does when you were in Egypt is to pass over. But you could see the miracles he performed to take you out of Egypt. 12 of them. Yeah, with 10 plagues, but 12 in particular. Yeah? He brings you out of Egypt. Then the last pedestal to cross was Passover. Then you pass over. Now, let's look at Passover. Put the blood on the lintel and the doorpost. Stay with me. It says the angel of death will pass over you. You know, that's why it's become a noun, but it was a verb, pass over. The angel of death will pass over you. It then became, and the Bible says, he told them, it says, this day mark it, it shall become the beginning of days for you. The month Abib. Abib means new growth. Shoot. Because what happened during Passover, and your life and my life is the same. Passover, the angel passes, but you know, in the house, I won't go into the story, it's very deep, but it's wonderful. Stay in the house. In the house, the angel passes over. Did people change? Have they changed? So I listen to people who say, oh, the church is full of difficult people. I say, yes, it's true. They haven't changed. They are changing. Because when the angel passed over, it's God that did the work. Isn't it? It's God that did the work. They were still the same. Oh, let's go on a journey. So Passover, then after Passover, Exodus. It says, gather them to their loins together, let them march together, come out. Then Exodus, again, stay with me. Pillar of light by day, pillar of cloud. There's a pillar of cloud by day, pillar of light, fire by night. Guiding them and guarding them. Takes them to the Red Sea. Red Sea splits. What's that for you and me? Baptism. So can you see the first is Passover? Then next is Exodus. We God takes us out of Egypt. Then we come out of Egypt. Then we get baptized. I won't take you through the scripture, but if you follow that scripture, they then come out. Series of events happen. They wanted water. Got beautiful miracle. I was explaining to my church. The greatest miracle is manna. Because manna is the bread of life, isn't it? That's Jesus, isn't it? But he takes them out. Now, I'm taking you somewhere. He takes them out. God does the miracles. He does the plagues. God does the Passover. God does the Exodus. God opens the Red Sea. They haven't done anything, though. Just following instructions. Yeah? God does through the Red Sea. They come out of the Red Sea. The first thing is they wanted water, bitter water, Mara. After the bitter water, the Bible says they went to Elim. Elim had, again, don't worry, it's in the Exodus, 70 palm trees, 12 streams, Elim. They went down. I was explaining to my church, going down spiritually is up. Because God is showing you your own experiences, taking you through. Then they come out of that. The Bible says he gives them manna. Then after manna, he gives them the rock, water. This is Jesus appearing to them in different forms, feeding them. I'm taking you somewhere. You don't arrive at chapter 17. The first time God then says to them, go and fight. Stay with me. I'm going to show you something because of time. I just want to tie it quickly together for you. God says, tell them to go and fight. So here, who is Joshua? Jesus. On the fighting field. They said, take men with you. Yeah. So they take men. He takes them. Joshua takes men. Now, who is Moses by implication again? Who is Moses? Jesus, on your behalf, on my behalf. But by implication, also you and me. Experientially. But this is important. I want to take you somewhere, but I'll come back to that. I just want to show you this. So Joshua is fighting. Now go to that scripture for me, Exodus 17. You see, how did Joshua fight? How did he beat Amalek? With the sword
of his mouth. The Bible says with the edge of the sword. The voice. With the edge of the sword. Joshua discomforted Amalek. I'm quoting KJV for you. But again, but they go together. When Joshua was fighting with Amalek, you experience it like this. I explained it to them in my church. Moses wasn't playing. What was he doing? He was sitting down on a rock. Who is the rock? Jesus Christ. With his hands. Now, one hand held up by Aaron. The Bible says he has made us kings and priests. Who is Aaron? Priest. Second hand, all from the house of Judah. All is from the house of Judah. King. From the house of Judah. All representing the lineage of Judah. Judah kingship, isn't it? Yeah. Aaron, Levi, priest. So stay with me. I'm taking you somewhere. I'll come back to those two things. So here, God then says to them, go and fight Amalek. I explained to them in church, Amalek is your flesh. Amalek is your flesh. So the first battle you have after God has done everything for you is that you must deal with your flesh. But he didn't leave you helpless. He gives you the formula. He says you are going to and see, again, listen to that scripture. When you go back, time is pertinent. I want to make sure I finish in 15 minutes, so I want to use my time well. I'll go back to that scripture. If you go back to the scripture, I'm sure media help me as I'm giving you some pictures. Go back there and show them. Amalek. Did you notice that he says they will fight Amalek from generation to... Your flesh doesn't go anywhere. That's the last verse. He says, and he says, write it down as a memorial. Why memorial? So they will remember. Amalek is your flesh. You must deal with your flesh. But God gives you the secret. He says you need Joshua. Because he says, Joshua, gather men. The men there is you and me, ordinary men. But he says, they go with Joshua on the fighting field to speak the word, the voice, commanding. But it won't, you can't command anything, brother, unless you also have your hands up. So, and your hand up by implication means your priestly ministry, which is you to God, and king ministry, which is God controlling you. God to you. They must both be up to be able, listen, to be able to discomfort Amalek from generation to generation. The challenge, brother, if you don't understand, is that Amalek, I said to them in church, I said to my wife, you never become mature for your flesh. You don't ever become mature for it. It's a fallacy. You are so mature as a believer, so your flesh... No, you must deal with your flesh every day. Every day, you must deal with your flesh. And it is the battle that God expects from you. He won't do it for you. He's done Passover. He's done Exodus. He's done Red Sea. He's given you bread of life. He's given you the water of the rock. These things are things he did for you. But to defeat Amalek, yes, you need him, true, but you are the battle axe yourself. Now, why am I taking you back? I'm showing you that the voice of the God of glory is in you. But the power of that voice has a lot to do with you understanding your priesthood and your kingship and also your mouth. Your mouth. Your mouth. And we must grow in God. Your mouth must change. Yeah? And your mouth changing, brothers and sisters, is a true reflection of your heart. Remember that scripture? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? So you can't fake yourself. If your heart is not full and bubbling with the things of God, your mouth will let you down. You know, and I used the word earlier for you, organic. You know what I mean by that word? Organic. Organic is this. Organic means it is alive. Let me show you a picture. You know, after God brought them out of Egypt, do you notice that all God did for it? It's the greatest miracle. How many years did they eat manna for? 40 years. Did they like manna? They complained. I'll let you go and read the story. They complained. But you know, what, stay with me, what is manna? Manna is bread. Jesus, the bread of life. Now, stay with me. Again, this is what I'm learning, Pastor. It is not by power. It is not by might. It is by the grace of God. You know, you are what you eat. You are basically what you eat. How tall is Ezekiel? 6 foot. It's plenty of food. At particular times, plenty of food. I'm working on it for my boy. Soya beans at the right time. Milk. You are what you eat. For those of you, I'm sure you all know, why, when we say somebody has a high cholesterol, what happened? They are eating lots of meat, lots of things that are rich in what? The wrong cholesterol, isn't it? You are what you eat. So God wants to change you from inside out. So what does he give you? Bread. He gives you his word. What you and I are not realizing is that that word, all you need to do is just what? Feed on it. That's all. Just feed on it. As you feed on it, it has the intrinsic, you know what I mean by this word, the inner power to change you. Gradually, it will do it by itself. And God knows it's a journey. He knows it's a process. That's why he's very patient with you. But you have a responsibility. He can't feed for you. See the instructions he gave them every morning. Go out and gather manna. Did you notice it? It's every... Do you know he told them, don't gather for tomorrow except on Sabbath. Do you know? And then now he is our own. He's our Sabbath now, isn't he? He has become our rest. So you need to feed every... So when I said to the Christian, are you reading your Bible? I read it 2 days ago. No. Did you eat 2 days ago? Haven't you eaten today? It's just a natural process. Just keep at it. Keep at it, brothers. Keep at it. Keep feeding. You are the one that say, I don't see the change. No, you are changing. I'm 19 years as a Christian. Now I'm changing. I know how much I've changed. And I'm also encouraging you as you step into 2019, increase your diet. You know, I know you are going to want many things in 2019. God knows too. Didn't God know? But what did he say to Joshua? What did he say to Jesus? What did Jesus say in Matthew 6, Joshua 1? Say, this book of the law shall not depart out of where? The voice. You see? Shall not depart. You want that voice? Let's look at it again. Psalm 29. Go on. Psalm 29. Look at it again. From verse 3. He is the God of glory. He is the God of glory. And his first glorification is where? In you. Romans teaches you that first glorification is in you. The hope of glory is in you. Colossians 1:27. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. I want you to read with me, and I want you to now start to see what the voice is able to accomplish for you. Let's read it together. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. Do you know what that means? Oh, let me give you a picture. The Bible says, Jesus said, woman at the well, I have a water. When I give you, you will never thirst again. He says, then he didn't stop there. Chapter 7 now says, out of you shall flow rivers of living water. Stay with me. Don't stop there. Then the Bible then says that, Bible says, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Luke chapter 5. Then the Bible says, a storm came. So the living water, by implication, is the who? The Holy Spirit. He's in you. But Jesus also gives you the power and the ability over the storms of life. I won't take you there, but in the sea, encamps the demons. But you have authority over it. What manner of man is this? He's able to, you have the same. The question is this: how mature in God are you? You have the same. It's in you. The voice is yours. God has given, he has birthed you into him. You are now, by implication, a child of who? A child of God. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. Verse 4. The voice of the Lord is what? It's powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. You know one of the things about majesty? Majesty means that you are able to arrange things. Things arranged in the right manner in your life, in my life. You know, one of my brothers called me from London yesterday. He said to me, "Doc, praise God with me." He said that they have given my boy his British passport. He said, and 2 hours ago, my lawyer called that I have my permanent residency now. I won't tell you the man's journey, you know, but it wasn't very straight, so you understand what I mean by that. But you know, one of the things that blesses me about that brother is that in 10 years, while he has been on this journey, his life has not stopped. He has continued walking with the Lord, going from glory to glory. This year, he has changed his car twice. I'm not trying to use that as I'm just telling you, he is not allowing his situation in life to define, or his circumstances to define, his ability to key into the things of God. Yes, he has not been able to travel because he's been going through this immigration, how do you call it, realignment. But his life hasn't stopped. He has been moving and walking in the realms of God, growing in the things of God. He's a faithful brother in his church, very faithful. He carries his pastor's hands like this. I'm not telling you to carry your pastor's hand. I'm just telling you he has not allowed his circumstances of life to define his ability to walk in the power of the voice that God has given him. No, he's walking. And the same is true for a lot of you. I know a lot of you here. I said to you earlier, God will always orchestrate many circumstances in life to get your attention. The same to call you in, but also to keep you on the straight and narrow. So many things in life that you think is the devil is not the devil. Do you know it's not the devil? It's your flesh. You know, if you can conquer your flesh, and you will conquer your flesh by the power and the ability of the Holy Spirit, then the devil has no power over you. Sin has no power over you. The world has no power over you. Because those entities, where is their realm of influence? It's in your flesh now. So if you can discomfort Amalek from generation to generation every day, then Satan can't do anything to you. Read with me. He says, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Verse 5. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. Verse 6. He makes them skip like a cow. Verse 7. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. That one is also deep. But I'll leave it to you in 2019 as you journey in the things of God more and more. Higher. Say higher.
Higher.
Yeah, in the realms of God. And verse 9, 7 and 8 and 9. The Lord, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. And verse 9, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says what?
Glory.
They say glory. They say glory. Yeah, they say glory. The Bible says that, and he has made them kings and priests unto his God and Father, so that the kingdom can come. You and I must rise. We must grow. We must conquer ourselves. Do you know that's your greatest battle? Many people think it's life. No, your greatest battle is yourself. You know? My daughter sent a message to my wife this morning on a card, you know, and said, "Thank you, mommy, for doing this. Thank you, mommy, for doing that. Thank you, mommy, for doing this. You know, I will repay you." So I said to my wife, "Go and tell her I don't need any repayment. Just be successful." The same thing with God. God doesn't really need our repayment. He just needs us to grow in him because he wants to use us. You see, ultimately, I didn't take you, and I'll close in 2 or 3 minutes with this. The next phase, you know, the next age. I know in RCCG we say we're to make heaven. It's great. But you know, Philippians 3:20 says we are citizens of heaven. So don't, making heaven is already your, heritage or, you know, inheritance. What God wants to do. You know, we don't talk about it a lot, but I'll throw it in for you, and I pray that Lord will help you open it up, is to get overcomers. God is looking for overcomers. Revelations, he who overcomes. And the greatest enemy of your overcoming is Amalek. is Amalek. So I'm giving you the key. You know the key already, but I'm reemphasizing it. You must use your mouth. You must raise your priestly hand. You must raise your kingly hand. Both hands. You see, the challenge we have, my brother, is that sometimes we are, you know, so you speak the word, but your hands are down. And I'll show you the last scripture. Now go back to that Exodus. Let me show it to you. He says, Moses sat down till the war was over until the sun went down. We are not going anywhere until the sun. Yeah. And the Bible says that he shall arise with healing in his wings. So we are not going anywhere until Jesus comes. Until he comes. So your fight is a daily one, but it's an ongoing one. But I just came to enjoin with you and to give you all the keys that you need, that you already have it. There's nothing I'm giving you that is new. You already what? Have it. Read together. But Moses' hands became so heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it, and Aaron, priest, and all your kingly ministry supported his hands, one on the one side and one on the other, and his arms were steady until the going down of the sun. Verse 13, read verse 13 now. So Joshua, do you see so? You see the conjunction? Yes. So the speaking is not first, brothers and sisters. The one that is first is your priestly and your kingly ministry. So afterwards, then Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of his sword. Amen. You will win. Amen. You know why? Do you know why you win? Because Jesus is also interceding for you. You know, as I gave you a picture of Moses there, by experience being you, but also by spiritual reality, it's also Jesus. And where is Jesus? He's on the right hand of the Father. What is he doing? Interceding. And he didn't stop there. Where is the Holy Spirit? He's in you. What is he doing? Interceding. So we already have what we need. We have it all. But we have our own part to, we have our part to play. You must do your own. I must do my own. So in 2019, in all the themes as you journey through, when you get to June, the God of glory. May the Lord bless you. Rise to your feet. So let's make that confession together from Revelations chapter 1. I'm a sticker for the word. Yeah. I would love to pray with you and say, let's pray together. But I'm a sticker for, let's just speak the word. Yeah, because it's the bread of life. Revelations chapter 1. So let's read together from verse 1. This time we stop at, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. So let's read together. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. It says this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he, raise your hand, is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. For the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 8 and 9. Or 7 and 8. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord let his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his approving countenance on you. May he grant you his peace.
Amen. God bless you.